I'll just continue to use this mic, so I'm not going to use the lapel one today. It does feel like the start of so many things. Being back after 3 weeks of holiday, it's the start of serving again for me. It's the start of the second half of the year. It's the start of a new sermon series as well. Now, this sermon series will all be about our covenant God. And as I say that, I can almost imagine a lot of people saying, oh yeah, just it's a name that we often hear, the covenant God and the covenant, and it just feels like a doctrine that we sometimes mention, but it's just out there. It doesn't really make us very enthusiastic about things. What does the covenant really mean? How does it touch my life today? It feels very Old Testament-y. Like it belongs in the past, and yet we can't be more wrong. The covenant is something that is vital for our lives today as well. It touches our lives every single day. The covenant is our relationship with God, the relationship that He chooses to have with us. And if that's not something that is applicable to every single part of our lives, then I don't know what is. Now, to understand covenant today, there's actually a very good video clip that is on our website. So if you go on the website, you'll find it under resources. And I was actually thinking of playing this video clip today so that you can get the information from that. But then I heard Melania Trump's speech this week, and I thought, well, maybe I should use my own words when I talk about the covenant and not show someone else's video clip. So I'll talk to you briefly about covenant today as well, and what covenant means and how it touches our lives today. So very briefly today, as an introduction only to this series that we are starting. Now, to understand what a covenant means, we need to understand that this is something that happened between people. It happens between two people when they make a commitment to one another, when they have a formal agreement. It happens when two nations make a formal agreement between each other. And it's also the word used to describe the relationship and the agreement we have with God. An agreement He makes with us. It's much more than just a physical contract. It's more than just a pinky promise. It's more than just spitting in your hand and shaking hand on something. In fact, Jeremiah 31 and also Ephesians 5 describe our relationship with God compared to a marriage. It's that big a commitment. The ideal marriage where we make promises to one another, where we commit ourselves to one another, that is more comparable to what we have with God. We also need to take note that the covenant is something that God initiates with us. And that, just in that, we find so much grace. It's not as if man reached out to God and wanted a commitment or a relationship with Him. It's God reaching out to us all the time. It's in His grace that He does so. So forming a covenant with us is something God does with us. He reaches out to us in grace and love and wants to have that committed relationship with all of us. So He takes that first step. Now, we've been talking about names or different languages as well, and words in different languages. So once again, I'll touch on that, I might do that throughout the series again. So the Hebrew word for covenant is berit. The New Testament Greek word is diateke. And the Latin word for covenant is testament. And maybe a bell would now go on in your head as well, thinking about the Bible itself. The fact that we have an Old Testament in the Bible and a New Testament in the Bible. And those words remind us that we have an old covenant with God and we now have a new covenant with God. So the whole of the Bible is all about this relationship that God has with us as mankind. Now, personally, I think there's only one covenant, one relationship that God has with us and His people. Some would differ from that. Some would say that there's at least two or up to six, or some would even find more. I think there's only one. God has a relationship with us. But that relationship manifests itself in different forms, in different ways. So God reaches out to different people, and in this relationship he has with us, would depict that relationship in a certain way. And so we find many different forms of that in the Bible. But in all those covenants, or all those relationships that he forms with people, we find the same thing over and over again. The same elements are there. God says something about himself. The person who initializes this covenant makes certain statements about himself. And once again, the grace of God is depicted throughout the Bible in this. When God reaches out to his people, he always starts with himself, saying, "This is who I am. This is what I've done for you, and therefore you find yourself in a relationship with me." Think about the Ten Commandments. God doesn't come to us asking us to do different things or certain things, but he starts by saying, "I am the God who saved you from Egypt. And therefore, in this relationship, you need to do this and this and this." So with all these covenants, all these manifestations of this relationship, we find these things. God says something about himself. He then makes certain promises. He depicts all the obligations we have. And then there's also a result. If we break the covenant, what the punishments would be, or the rewards if we follow that. And then often there's a sign given regarding that covenant. Just think about marriage once again, and I'll explain to you how you actually find all those things in marriage as well. You find the start of the relationship itself in marriage. You find that declaration of love. In this covenant we are going to enter, it starts with me saying to you that I love you and that I want to be with you the rest of my life. And then you propose to the other person. And you make the promises of certain things. You promise that you would love the other person. You promise that you would respect the other person. You promise that you would support the other person. And if that relationship is broken, there will be dire consequences, as we very often see in life. And we also have a sign of that agreement in the rings that we often wear. So that agreement we find to be almost like a covenant then, in a marriage as well. It's a lifelong commitment to one another. Now, throughout the Bible, we find that God reaches out to certain people and he makes this commitment to them, or the relationship he has with them is depicted in certain ways. We find this right from the start. We find this in the relationship God has with Adam, the first people on earth, how God made a commitment to them and how he reached out to them. And they had to have certain responsibilities and obligations as well. The Lord God, it says in Genesis 2, said to Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So there's a relationship that God forms, reaching out to the people. There are certain promises he makes. He gives them certain things they must obey, and if they don't, there will be consequences to that. We find other covenants as well. Let's think ahead. The covenant with Noah, for example. God reaches out to Noah and says to Noah that he would never destruct the earth again, or send a flood again to destroy the world that we live in. That's a promise he makes. He gives a sign of the rainbow. But there's certain obligations that that Noah and his family has to make as well. And over we find the word covenant used in that relationship. We find the covenant with Abraham. And this is the one that we will be exploring in this series. We'll be transporting ourselves 4,000 years back in history to discover Abraham's journey and to find out how God built out this relationship with this man and through him with all his descendants, making promises to him. His descendants would be like the stars or the sand of the beaches of the ocean, God says. He will give him a land. He will bless him and all his descendants. But they had obligations to serve the Lord. He would be their God, but they needed to be his people. And through them, God will bless all the nations. That's the promise. If that covenant is broken, there will be consequences to that. And we'll see all those things as we go through this series. And of course, the sign of that covenant, circumcision. So we'll look at that as well a couple of weeks down the track in the covenant. Now, God also promises that there will be a new covenant. He knows that we won't be able to do our part in this agreement, that we will, because we are sinful, we'll stray away, we'll break the covenants. And therefore, he promises a change. He says in the Bible that there will be a new covenant coming. Jeremiah 31, that we heard today, verse 31 and also 33, part of it, says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Now, we know that this promise came true when Christ came to this earth, that he brought the new covenant to us, that he fulfilled this covenant. Because just as the New Testament in the Bible starts, this is how it is explained. Luke 1, verse 68. This is the song that Zechariah sings after the birth of his child. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he has swore to our father Abraham." The promise of the covenant has now come. The new covenant has come. And Christ himself refers to this. Every single month we have communion and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And every single time we are reminded of what Jesus himself said when he instituted that sacrament. As he took the cup, he referred to the wine and said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." We now have a new relationship through Christ with God himself. Christ is not only the mediator of the new covenant, he is the sacrifice of the new covenant. He is the new covenant himself. And through him, through grace alone, we have a lasting, eternal relationship with God. So, is it going to be a boring series? Certainly not. In fact, if you look at the life of Abraham itself, it's very colourful. A lot of colourful things happen as we discover that God reaches out to all kinds of people. He reaches out to sinners. He includes all of us in his covenant. He makes certain promises. The sign that is given. It's going to be a colourful, very colourful series itself. But most importantly, as we go through this series, we will be discovering the God who has made this covenant with us as well. The God who reaches out to each one of you as well in Christ, saying that I want to be your God and you will be my people. That I want to have an eternal relationship with you. And all the things I've said before in the covenants of the Bible, the Old Testament, all the promises I made, they will be true for you. Because you can trust God, and when he steps in relationship with you, all those things will happen. And he has certain obligations that he wants you to live out as well. Not so that we can have a relationship with the Lord, but because we have one, we, out of thankfulness, try and do the things that God wants us to do. So how important will this series be? It is life-giving. It is understanding how important God is to us, the God who wants to have a covenant with you. It's so important that we will understand that it covers the whole Bible. It covers the whole story of God's relationship with His people, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, right through to the New Covenant, the New Testament. It touches everything we think and do and say. So open yourselves up to discover the life of Abraham. But through the life of Abraham, try to discover the God of the covenant. This year, it's all going to be about God Himself. The fact that God matters. And in this series, we will discover that the God who reaches out to us in the covenant truly matters to all of us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your covenant. We thank You for the fact that You reach out to us and that You want to be in a relationship with us. We thank You, Lord, that the promises You make in the covenant, the fact that You step out and that You give Yourself to us and all these promises, Lord, is not only something that was true in the life of Abraham and other people in the Old Testament, but You do so for us as well. Father God, as we join with all the descendants of Abraham, and as we look at his life, help us discover who You are to us, the God of the covenant. Father Abraham has many sons. We sang that this morning. And isn't it such a grace that all of us now can understand today that we are part of that? That all of us who are here today are part of this relationship that You formed with Abraham and all his descendants. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at You who matter, that we will understand that this covenant, this relationship You made with us, matters as well. Amen.